Moncrief on News Talk.
Tomlin with you, standing in for Sean today. 53106 for your text or 087-1400-106 for your WhatsApps. Now, absolutely beautiful summer holiday memories coming your way. I don't know if your memories are going to be able to compete with these for summer holidays, but writer Emma Roach spent her summers with her grandparents in the Hamptons every year, a far cry from the day-to-day life in Dublin in the 1980s. She's written, it was almost a love letter really to those innocent days, and she joins now to share those memories. A very different America to the one we recognise now, it must be said. Emma, how are you today?
Hi Tom, thanks for having me on.
It's lovely to see you. And you paint this picture of flying over to the States, and there are so many things that were just ringing bells with me. Like, you'd get there, you'd go on standby to get there.
Yeah, it was a different time. We'd go on standby. It was cheaper, and my mum was a teacher, so we had the opportunity to hang around in the summer and wait for those flights to come through. But it was so exciting to have bags packed.
Now you get your slot on this flight where there isn't a single spare seat. But then you'd say, I'm willing to go standby, and you pay a reduced price.
You get a reduced fare, and it was, we'd dress up, you know, turn up at the airport. It was all very kind of sociable and glamorous, and climb aboard one of the 747s.
Which, I remember them well. Yeah. There was three of them.
Jumbo Jets.
Echo, I remember the names. Echo Delta, Sarah Juliet, Sarah Indigo.
That's right.
That's how well I knew.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were seen in Ireland as almost the coming of the modern world. Do you remember when we got them? They were on TV.
There was a lot of, there was a lot of argument about whether they were a big expense we didn't need at the time in the Dáil. I remember that as well. But it was a glamorous thing for us to have.
You were on them in the very early days when there was still a
staircase. Yeah, class area was, not that we were there, but we'd look up and you'd see this spiralling staircase upstairs to first class.
Wonderful. No. Absolutely wonderful. To be getting on that and going up the stairs, that must have been a wonderful experience.
We were brought up, my sister and I were young, and, you know, we were brought up as a little treat to see. And it was a feeling of how the other half live.
Yeah, sensational. This all came about through your mother.
Yeah.
Your mother was American.
Yeah, my mum was American. And she grew up initially in Massapequa, Long Island, and then down in Sagaponack, the place I've written about. And she came to Ireland to study Anglo-Irish literature in 1975. And she stayed. She met my dad here and she stayed. And we would go back and forth every summer to visit her mum.
But for you, though, this seemed quite routine because you're just kind of growing up and then you're being ushered over there.
As a child, that was how we spent the summers. So we were...
The whole summer?
The whole summer, yeah.
Even now I'm jealous.
She'd waitress there during the summer. So she was a teacher here.
Yeah.
She was hired as a teacher in Blackrock College in 1976, one of the first women. And then she would spend her summers waitressing. And, you know, she made more money waitressing.
Made
in the Hamptons.
More money waitressing.
Yeah. So my sister and I just played, you know, in these gardens and.
I remember going to the States. I was just about to start as an engineer, having studied for 4 years, and I was offered a job in a bar. And they would have paying me twice what I was going to earn as an engineer.
I believe it.
That was America, though, wasn't it? It was this land of opportunity.
Yeah. Well, as you said at the start there, Tom, I think, you know, this resonated a little bit because it's an older America, or a time when people were really excited to go to America. And I suppose with the current administration and things at the moment, it's, you know, the feelings
it's very
aren't.
Different.
But people might, you know, think back now.
Yeah.
Certainly I did writing this piece and remember and hopefully see it again or feel it again.
So when you arrived, what happened next? How did you get to your grandparents' house?
We landed in JFK. And then to get to the Hamptons, it's sort of, you know, it's the Greyhound bus is the, you might be familiar with that route.
Yeah.
But, you know, you travel east and there's two forks in the road. One is North Fork and one is to the Hamptons. And my uncle always collected us. So we would let him know.
And he was an ex-pilot himself?
He was in the Navy.
Fighter pilot.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And he was great to come and collect us last minute because obviously with the standby flight, he'd check the times, come and collect us. And that was all part of the fun. And we'd drive down. And
what was your grandparents' house like?
It was lovely. They built it themselves. My grandfather was a carpenter. So they built it themselves, both of them. And it was simple but spacious.
Right.
And it was in a rural area, big garden with a pond and close to all those beaches that we got to enjoy.
And they were kind of an Irish success story, weren't they? They'd gone to America via Ellis Island, hadn't they?
Absolutely. In the 1930s, I mean, my grandmother was only 14 years old, if you can imagine that, on her own.
On her own?
Yeah, she worked in a flower shop near Macy's. And then my grandfather had been a wheelwright here in Ireland. And when he got to the States, there was no use for wheelwrights in Manhattan. So he started working as a carpenter. And he worked for a big department store, Gimbel's, which was kind of rival to Macy's.
Do they still exist? They're gone, are they?
I think they're gone now, but they are gone, in fact. But they were a big sort of rival to Macy's. But they did those big Christmas windows, and he'd work on all of the decorations and toys for the Christmas windows.
Like Miracle on 34th Street.
It's mentioned in Miracle on 34th Street, yeah. So it's Macy's and then Gimbel's were arch rivals.
So he'd probably been working on that from...
That was a full-time gig. Full-time? Yeah.
Wow, amazing.
And my older cousins in the States would get to go in and see the windows when he unveiled them, or even get to see him working on some stuff in his own, you know, in his own shed.
And they were successful enough to be able to buy that bit of land in that area. I mean, at that time, it wasn't quite the...
No, it was nice, but Sagaponack, where they built, was quite rural compared to, say, Bridgehampton or Sag Harbour. So they were able to afford to build it. Now it's, you know, gone through the stratosphere as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they were very, very forwards thinking, really, weren't they?
I think they just wanted to be in the countryside and they thought it was beautiful. I don't think it was, you know.
And did I hear Truman Capote was a neighbour?
He was. Bit of a flex there, Tom. But he was. I wouldn't have cared or known who he was, but my parents would be like, Mr. Capote, and it was exciting.
He was riding in cold blood somewhere just down the road.
Yeah,
amazing.
Just down the road, yeah. He was our next neighbour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you arrived in, what age would you have been when you were kind of...
I started going
there?
Over at about three.
Three?
Yeah.
Coming back with, I presume, loads of American clothes and American toys.
American accent, which I had to hide when I was in St. Louis and Rathmines. But yeah, it was magical.
What kind of stuff was there to do?
Well, really the beach. The beach, and then the candy kitchen, which I mentioned, was a very enjoyable ice cream parlour. It was kind of a 1950s diner.
Yeah.
And that was always a really exciting treat, to get a banana split or a milkshake. And then my sister and I were both delighted to hear it mentioned on Succession. Kendall Roy says to his dad, you promised, you know, there was some promise made in the candy kitchen that I was going to inherit. You know, we thought it was hilarious.
It is. And the lobster place where your mum would work, what was that like?
The Lobster Inn. It was lovely. It was... just a big American restaurant that served lobsters the size of your head, big baked potatoes, and
sensational
Shirley
stuff.
Temples for us.
The stuff you read about in Ireland at the time, it was what you dreamt America would be like. And you were there for 3 months, was it like the whole summer?
Well, but depending on the standby flight, so when my mum would finish up in Black Rock, we would be ready to go. And then we'd come back maybe the day before school started again.
What was that like?
I mean, there was definitely a culture shock, both going over and coming back.
Coming back, you're going to come back suntanned. You're going to wear those kind of better clothes the Americans had.
I don't know about that, but we definitely came back sunburnt or suntanned, maybe a little bit. It was more adjusting to making sure that we didn't use what we would have considered embarrassing Americanisms and become, you know, slagged off by our classmates.
Because they'd be very cruel. And then, I mean, it was just every summer for you. But at one summer, you know, like all teenagers... You decided it was something you didn't want to do.
Well, it just like became less frequent, in my teenage years. I did do a J1 summer.
Yeah.
But I ended up going to Cape May, New Jersey. But yeah, I suppose
I was fine with teenagers. You're trying to bring them on holidays and, you know, you're bringing them to these beautiful places. And then at some point they just look at you and say, this is the worst day of my life.
Yeah, I'm on the opposite side of it now. So, yeah.
I'm still in the midst of all that.
The opposite side of being the one who's going to enjoy the holidays and trying to convince my kids to come with me somewhere. So.
Right. And what happened in the end? Did you know, is it still there? Is the house still there? Are your grandparents gone, I presume?
The family home is still there. And my uncle and his wife, you know, took over the years. And it's still standing there.
That area would have gone through the roof now, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Is there any way you can get back to it now? Or?
Well, I've been over, I brought my family on holiday to the North Fork, which is opposite kind of the fork that's opposite the Hamptons, and we took a whole tour of the Hamptons and brought them to Candy Kitchen and showed them the house.
Candy Kitchen is still there,
isn't it? It's still standing,
Wow,
hasn't changed. Yeah.
God. What's your strongest memory of it? I mean, when you're writing about it, you're writing about obvious great love.
Yeah, I think just the comfort of it. You know, the lightning bugs. I was calling it that. They're fireflies.
Yeah.
Would you know that snap at night time in the garden, and I could just the warmth coming in. You know, so unlike an Irish warm day.
It sounds like a book from Colm Tobin at times.
Oh well, thank gosh, thank you. I'll take it.
That love of it.
It really was, and it was time with my mum, and it was time with my grandmother. So there is a lot of love.
And
there.
It must have meant the world to your grandmother as well.
Yeah, I think so. For all of us coming over.
Yeah. Beautiful. Do you think that era is gone now? America isn't like that anymore?
I believe it's still there. I believe definitely we're going to. American is Americana, I believe in. The mom and pop stores, the people.
Absolutely.
The heart. Yeah.
Yeah. Listeners saying, I remember flying into New York the first time in 1994. Never so excited. I remember that too. I told you my friend went to Detroit and I flew into New York and I was in JFK for about 5 minutes and it was the most exciting 5 minutes of my life. And I got to Detroit and said, we're going back to New York, Cormac.
Yeah.
Get it into your head.
Well, I remember when I did go on a J1 summer and a lot of my friends, it was their first time going to the States. So I was excited by their excitement at it being their first time, you know, there's a yellow taxi cab, all those things in our psyche.
Or hearing a New Yorker, even if he's giving out to you in the taxi cab, like, I'm giving out to my New Yorker. How amazing is this?
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. This says, 10 of us did a road trip to California in the 1970s, the trip for a lifetime. Saved up all year and as soon as our exams are finished, they're off the big adventure. We'd never driven that side of the road before. That's from the start. Nothing fazed us. Oh, to be 23, completely carefree again. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Emer, thank you very much for that. Lovely talking to you today.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
Emer Roach. And you can read that again. Where will they be able to read that now?
It's online with the Irish Independent.
Brilliant stuff. Emer, thanks very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.